From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, October 7th, 2025. The long-running legal challenge over Maine's failure to provide attorneys to criminal defendants who can't afford them has reached the state Supreme Court. As Caitlin Bedayan reports, arguments before the court today focused on whether the lower court has the authority to order defendants released from jail if they're not provided a lawyer.
Earlier this year, Superior Court Justice Michaela Murphy ruled that the state was failing to meet its constitutional obligation to provide attorneys to indigent criminal defendants. She also decided to hold individual hearings, and if a defendant had not been appointed an attorney in 14 days, they would be released from jail. If no attorney was found in 60 days, the charges would be dismissed. But attorneys for the Maine Commission on Public Defense Services and the Attorney General's Office say the Superior Court order is too broad and the law court must step in. Paul Souter is an assistant attorney general representing the state of Maine.
Immediate intervention is necessary because the Superior Court's order allows for release and dismissal of charges across Maine, including those accused of violent felonies, even when it could undermine justice, endanger public safety, or contradict the law.
But Carol Garvin with the ACLU of Maine, which filed the lawsuit against the state more than 2 years ago, argues that the Superior Court does have the authority to hold hearings and order defendants released.
Here, there is no real dispute that Maine is failing to provide counsel to hundreds and hundreds of indigent defendants. As of the time of our trial, there were over 900 pending cases where people had no counsel. The average time that people had been without counsel was 66 days.
It's not clear when the law court will issue a ruling on the matter. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Bedayan.
Sheriffs from three western Maine counties want to build a new regional jail that they say will save money and solve overcrowding problems. Michael Livingston has more.
The sheriff's proposal envisions a facility similar to Two Bridges Regional Jail used by Sagadahoc and Lincoln counties. In a letter sent to their county administrators, the sheriffs say a larger shared jail would split operational costs between the three counties and be eligible for more state and federal grant money. Androscoggin, Franklin, and Oxford counties each operate their own county jails, which have about 250 beds combined. District Attorney Neil McLean wrote in a letter of support that the jails are, quote, dangerously overcrowded and not equipped to provide helpful resources or some of the basic needs of inmates. There was no cost estimate or location in the sheriff's proposal. They suggest counties form a joint working group and conduct a feasibility study to start the process. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
After months of delay, plans to place solar panels on 200 Passamaquoddy homes in eastern Maine are back on track. State regulators today sided with the tribe in its dispute with a local electric utility. And as Peter McGuire reports, the tribe says it still has access to a $7 million federal grant to install solar panels and batteries.
The Public Utilities Commission says even though the arrays have collective funding, they are individual units and not a discrete electric generating facility under energy billing rules. Trevor White from the tribe says the ruling comes as a relief.
I mean, obviously, it's very frustrating for people that it's taken this long. I get asked all the time by tribal members, when is this going to happen?
Eastern Maine Electric Co-op says it supports solar power, but the case record does not justify granting the tribe credits to offset electricity bills at the expense of utility customers. The co-op will review the commission's final order and determine next steps. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
The Portland City Council last night unanimously approved a winter warming shelter, despite concerns from some residents about access and impact on neighbors. The warming shelter will be co-located with an existing asylum seeker shelter in the city's Riverton neighborhood, about 5 miles from downtown. It will open overnight during particularly cold or snowy conditions. Health and Human Services Director Maggie McLaughlin says the city could not find a location closer to downtown.
We know that this is not ideal. It is far from perfect, but it is what we were able to produce within the constraints that we had.
McLaughlin says the city will run a shuttle bus to bring people to the shelter from downtown. It'll have capacity for 60 people and is funded with a $400,000 Maine Housing Grant. By the age of 8, nearly a quarter of U.S. children own a cell phone, and most are smartphones with apps and internet access. For many parents, giving a child their own smartphone is a fraught milestone, but some are finding ways to avoid its pitfalls and still keep their preteens connected to friends. In Maine, one grassroots organization is encouraging parents to get a landline. As Patty White reports, advocates of landline kids say the going old school is revolutionary.
Standing in the kitchen of her South Portland home, 8-year-old Piper Morse picks up a phone to call a friend.
Hi, Carly. What you doing?
There's lots to discuss. Soccer game scores, an upcoming bake sale, and the latest on the social scene.
I'll see you at the party tonight. Bye.
The conversation may be typical for a third grader, but the phone connection is not. Piper is cradling a white plastic handset to her ear. It's connected by a long spiral cord to a base with a push-button dial pad. It's just a phone.
I like it because you don't have to look on a screen and there's buttons.
Piper's sister, Molly, who's 10, likes it too. And she says she's puzzled by the way that kids on the school bus pull out their smartphones and ignore each other.
Because people are sitting next to them who's their friends and stuff. And I'm like, put your phone down and just talk to people next to you.
This is probably the smartest parenting move I've made.
Karen Moore says she was dreading the day when her daughters would own smartphones. As a social worker at an elementary school, Moore says she sees firsthand the way that smartphones can expose kids to inappropriate content, online bullying, and monopolize their attention.
There definitely is a cell phone addiction in children right now.
As Morse worried about what to do, she thought about the phone she used growing up and wondered if her kids would embrace a landline. But for them to go along with the idea, she thought she'd need other families to do the same and started nudging neighbors and friends.
Get a landline with us. Join us. It's not that complicated. It's not that expensive.
Now, a year later, Moore says about 24 families in her community have landlines, or internet phones that essentially function like a landline. And she's seen unexpected benefits. She says her daughters are better at conversations. They're not distracted like they were when they used her smartphone to call friends.
They took my cell phone and they would disappear and there would be filters and their voice would turn into, you know, like a robot. Like, I don't even think they were talking. You know, I don't think that they were actually learning how to communicate.
Moore says she and other parents were so happy with their landlines, they launched a Landline Kids website to encourage others to do the same.
Hello. Hey, Parker. I was wondering if you wanted to go fishing.
11-year-old Ashton Ladd of Scarborough got a landline last spring.
Once we get off the bus from school, we're kind of just isolated from all of our friends. But now that we have this, we're not really anymore.
His mom, Jen Ladd, says she and her husband wanted to stay in touch with Ashton and his 9-year-old sister, Claire, as they got older and were home alone from time to time. She liked the landline option because its focus is outward for calling family and friends and making plans.
As opposed to just sitting on their phone by themselves and doing who knows what, I don't know, internet surfing or any number of other things that are just a little bit more secluded.
I mean, phones are very powerful devices that can open the world to a huge amounts of information and content and people that are both positive and negative.
David Bickham, research director at the Digital Wellness Lab at Boston Children's Hospital, says smartphones can foster connection, but they can also contribute to loneliness and mental health issues. The key, he says, is to be thoughtful and intentional about their use.
What's really challenging about it is, how do I set it up so that it's not controlling me, I'm in control of it.
Bickham recommends parents to use settings that will encourage healthy use. Turn off notifications, require permission to download an app, explain why these controls are important,
And Bickham says there's no one ideal age to get a smartphone, but
pushing it past that 9-10 age, which is really starting to be the most common age that young people get phones, pushing it beyond that as much as possible, I think it's probably fairly useful for kids.
In the meantime, he says, a landline is a viable option.
Hello.
Jen Ladd says her kids have learned skills from the landline that she hadn't expected.
You know, it is fun. It's an independent thing for them to be able to do, to sort of like reach out to someone and make a plan or not. Like my daughter calls her friends and they tell jokes to each other.
Why is the toilet paper afraid to cross the road? Because he was afraid he'd get stuck in the cracks.
What's an easy way to delay getting a smartphone? For these parents, the answer to that riddle is get a landline. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, the growing problem of food insecurity in Maine. I'm Nicole Ugrisco. Thanks for listening.